The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, hello, coming to your cordless, everybody. It's 11:02 on the East Coast of the United States. It's 8:02 on the West Coast. It's 2:02 in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia. And here where I'm sitting in Northeast Minneapolis, it's 2 minutes after 10 p.m. Central Time. And I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night, number 62, if I'm right. So we've been at this, we miss a few days here and every now and then. I got an announcement about that, too. I think this is our 18th week, if I'm right. We start on July 31st, or basically August. Hi. How you doing? I'm looking at myself. It's like, holy shit. Got a lot of lights going on. Took us forever to figure out the lighting in there. Okay, so let me tell you what we got going on tonight. No guests. Yeah, no guests again. Right. So why don't you humor me? Call me up, okay? I mean, we've kind of designed this. I was hoping one day a week, we're going Monday through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. My hope is that one day a week, I thought it'd be Thursday. Now I'm starting to think it's going to be Monday because I don't try to figure this shit out. We have a lot of guests who ask to be booked on Thursday. I don't know why that is, but that's true. And so now I'm starting to think, okay, you know, if we do one day a week without guests, it's probably going to be Monday. And this is not Monday, this is Wednesday. But still, you can call me up. You go to jimatnight.com/call right down here, right there. And you press a big button on the screen, and you will go into our virtual green room. You check your camera and mic, and I will put you on. It's simple. It's even easier than making a FaceTime call. No lie. I mean, I ask every single person who calls in. You know, David from San Francisco, a longtime caller on my previous radio show, he basically said it was harder to find our website than to actually call in. And it is. He's absolutely right. That's correct. So give me a call tonight. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, everyone says that, but we actually do. So no show tonight. No. I mean, no guest tonight. Now, here's the deal. Normally, we do a show on Thursday. I'm canceling it. I hate to do this. I made this decision about half an hour before we went live here. Because we have a major email issue in our tiny little company here that I have to solve in the next 48 hours. I got emails going out all over the place. Let me give you an example. So we on Tuesday, here's the schedule for next week. That's our last week before Christmas. On Tuesday, we got Mark Morano from ClimateDepot.com coming on. He's a regular guest on CNN and Fox News. I don't know if you recognize the guy, but he's all over the place. And the fact he's coming on the show, I'm taking as a compliment. But the thing is, obviously, we need to send him information about how to connect and all that sort of stuff and touch base with him. And right now, my email account @night@jimpeters.net, it's not working. And I know why. So I'm going to bore you. So here's the reason it's not working. So I'm using a free account provided by our DNS provider. DNS is the domain name system. And I thought, you know, they've been offering this. And I do a lot of web projects. I've done a lot of web projects over the years. I thought, what the hell? I might as well just use this, you know. They're offering it. I'll use it. Okay, fine. It's worked great. Except now I'm getting messages in the last 2 weeks that say your email box is almost full. Pay to upgrade. Doesn't even say click here to upgrade. It says go to support and pay to upgrade. So I go to support. There's no way to upgrade. I sent them emails. They say we'll get back to you. They literally don't know. Now, the problem, I guess, is this is not their main business. You know, their main business is DNS. They're offering this as a service. Anyway, the mailbox filled up, and now, although I can enter it, I can't send or receive any mail. So I got to solve this problem ASAP, And I'm actually really pissed off. If I had known this was going to happen, if I knew there's a limit, I wouldn't have used this thing in the first place. So now I not only have to find another email provider, I have to transfer all the mail. And the thing is also, too, I got to admit, I don't want to use Google. I don't. In my previous job at Conk News, we used Google. I just don't want to use. I don't want to use them. I don't trust those people anymore. I don't. You know, their motto was "Don't be evil." And when you have to have a motto that says "Don't be evil," it's probably because you're evil, right? You know, are you figuring? You know, compete with me. You know. So anyway, so that's my problem here. I got to solve this ASAP. So there's no show tomorrow. I don't want to spend any time preparing for it. Now, yeah, I might solve this problem before 10 p.m. tomorrow night. I might, but I don't know. We're just canceling. Next week, got a full range of shows, one Monday through Thursday. Now, here's the thing I have to point out. We are going to do a show on Monday night, January 1st. I know that may surprise you, because in fact, I take off as much time as Carson did. But we are. And not only that, we have a fairly big announcement we're going to make that night, too. So that show may not be that long, but still, we're going to do a show on Monday night, January 1st. So you tune in, you know, whether you're... I'm going to be interested to see if people are going to be interested in tuning in, you know, because there's two ways to look at it. On the one hand, you spent the previous night drinking, and you got nothing else to do, so you might as well get on Rumble and watch this. On the other hand, you spent the previous night drinking and your head still hurts and you don't even know what Rumble is right now. So you're not going to get on. So we'll find out. Anyway. Yeah. And we have a special guest that night too. Oh, I forgot to mention. So Mark Morano, next Tuesday, Jeff Meyer and Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com are coming on as a team. They're tag teaming on Wednesday. So we'll have a nice chat with them about the current news and all that sort of stuff. Thursday, I got a special guest. It's Christmas. What do you think it is? but he's coming by, so we're gonna talk to him on Thursday. So that'll be kind of interesting. So we're taking the 25th through the 28th off, our normal days. That whole week we're taking off. But we are doing a show on Monday, January 1st. We are. All right, so what happened today? I'll tell you, there are two big things that happened today. First of all, Hunter Biden went to Washington and stood in front of the Capitol and says, "I'm not going in." They wanted him for a closed-door deposition, and he said no. He actually showed up at the Capitol, but he refused to go inside. He said, "I'm not doing this." He basically said the same thing Trump's been saying. This is a witch hunt. The only difference is, in this case, it isn't. You know, that's the problem. So... You know, the guys, Comer and Jordan in the House say they're going to now legally find him in contempt of Congress, which means he could actually go to jail for this. I mean, it's amazing. And it has been pointed out, you know, his stance is that he's willing to appear in a public forum, but not behind closed doors. And he says he doesn't want to go behind closed doors because the Republicans will end up distorting what he says. But the reality is, in a public hearing, the whole thing will become a show trial, and the Democrats will make a mockery of it. That's the real thing. It has to be pointed out here that the entire Trump family, sons, daughters-in-laws, Trump himself, they have all appeared in closed-door hearings, all of them. As a matter of fact, these hearings have a tendency, they can go on forever. Like 8 hours nonstop is not unusual. So that happened, and then almost simultaneously, literally about an hour or two after that, I think it was around 5:50 Eastern time, the House did vote to formally start an impeachment inquiry on President Biden. And now, they're never going to, like, convict him of impeachment ever. It's never going to happen. And I don't even know, and I think there's a good possibility, I'd say right now a probability, they will not even actually run an impeachment trial. I don't even think they're going to bother. But the reason you want to start the inquiry is it gives you certain subpoena problems or powers. Because these people, being the Biden family, they got problems. This is a... You know, and the thing is, and Hunter really has problems because now the IRS is after him, and rightly so. because they basically have documented the fact that in the last, that over the course of 2 years, he spent $1.4 million of money, and there's no record of how he got that money. And of course, the real thing is he didn't pay any taxes on it. So, and my accountant, my lowly accountant, me, you know, little moi, you know, she has clients who have gone to jail for not paying taxes. Here's a statistic. The IRS convicts 97% of the people they bring to court. 97%, almost everybody. Because it's really pretty easy to document the fact you didn't pay any taxes. First of all, they know you didn't pay it. And secondly, it's really, even like in Hunter's case, if they have no documentation or very little about his actual income, but they know how much money he spent. So, like, where did he get the money? But that's not really the question. That's not what the IRS cares about. They care about the fact, well, you obviously had $1.4 million at some point along the line. The taxes on that are roughly, well, it depends how you want to figure it, roughly $550,000, $600,000, and we didn't get it. You know? Now, it bears repeating, this is how they busted Al Capone. They could never get Al Capone on murder charges, on racketeering, nothing. They got him on not paying taxes. And this very simple way, it was the exact same way. They documented the fact that he spent a shitload of money, and so he obviously had that money and never paid taxes on it. And I think he spent the rest of his life in prison, although, if I'm right, he was sentenced to 14 or 15 years, something like that. But I think, if I'm correct, he died in prison. He did. And this is going to happen to Hunter. No matter all the shit that's going down, even if Joe comes out of this completely scot-free, the fact of the matter is Hunter will go down for this. He will. Because, once again, it's very simple. You spent a bunch of money, that means you had the money, and where's the taxes? Well, he didn't pay them. So there you go. So that's what happened today. Meanwhile, Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard, who could not actually stand or sit down at a table in Congress and answer the question, you know, is anti-Semitism on campus bullying and harassment, who actually couldn't give a direct answer to that question, she's going to keep her job. The board of governors of Harvard got together, and only that, they basically gave her unanimous support, along with about 660 faculty members of Harvard. And I didn't know this. You want to know where, I think it costs $90,000 a year to go to Harvard. There's 2,500 faculty members at Harvard, not administrators, no, faculty members. There's 2,500 teachers at Harvard. 2,500, really? Really? I mean, I don't know how many students go to Harvard. I mean, I know some statistics. Like, for example, the reason I know this is because we're only a few blocks away here from the edge of the campus of the University of Minnesota, which is generally regarded, and depends on what year it is, it's either with the University of Michigan, and I always get that confused. That's Ann Arbor, right? It's Michigan State that's in Lansing, correct? I think. Anyway, with the University of Michigan, the University of Minnesota they're the two largest campuses in the nation, and they kind of switch off on who's one and two, but they're both up there. So I don't, and here I think we have about 90,000 people on campus. Okay, if you have 90,000 people, maybe you need 2,500 teachers. I don't know. You know, but I have no idea what the actual student population of Harvard is. I should have looked. But seriously, there's 2,500. Well, anyway, so of those 2,500 faculty members, about a quarter of them wrote a letter in support of Ms. Gay. Now, Ms. Gay has been now busted because people have gone looked into her past and found out that she's a serial plagiarizer, which is, we should point out that Joe Biden is too. At every point in his career, Joe Biden has been busted for plagiarism, and it's kind of been lost to history now, but he ran for president in 2008 and had to get out of the race because of plagiarism. He took whole sections out of a speech by some British politician, and I didn't know this, and I just find this, like, this is a mark of stupidity, that he lifted whole cloth, whole paragraphs out of John F. Kennedy's first inaugural address, one of the most famous political speeches in American life. Like, see, I mean, I'm watching this and he's saying this stuff, and I'm, you know, bear no burden, you know, we will bear any burden, blah, 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 blah. And I think, like, you dumb shit. You, how did you think you could get away with that? I mean, okay, some obscure British guy, well, that's one thing. You know, we're not in Britain. He wasn't that even that famous. All right, so fine. Okay, you lived just, you know, you shouldn't do that. But still, I mean, this is a testament of Joseph Biden's stupidity, the fact that he did this. He lifted, and it was that very part, the part about we will bear any burden. I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I mean, you've heard it. You've heard it. It's almost as famous as that speech as "Ask not what you can do for your country." It's the other famous part. And he lifted it for a speech he gave. It's like, Jesus, really? I mean, they didn't even have to do the A-B comparison. I am watching this, and I'm thinking, you dumb fuck. It's like, what the hell are you thinking? I mean, you know, jeez. I mean, this guy is such a loser. I mean, you know, and so I had lunch with a friend today. You know, now, you know, I've told you this. I live in a liberal world. Here in northeast Minneapolis, it's one of the most liberal districts in the United States. It is. Ilhan Omar is the representative for the district I'm sitting in this very second. That'll give you some idea. Crazy people. So, I hear this content, and people know I do the show. And a lot of them, these people have known me for years, and you know what happened to you? You used to be a liberal, you know, yeah, you know. And so, you know, I'm talking to my friend today, and he's a Trump hater, and I don't understand. I guess I don't get the Trump hate stuff. I do get the Trump dislike stuff. I mean, I do. I understand if you don't like the guy. I really do. I mean, yeah, he says crazy shit. And he can be petty and vindictive and all that sort of stuff. I totally get that. I do. But he ran the country pretty well. And then, you know, but people say, well, what did he do that was so good? You know, and so do I have to tick it off? Best economy ever? It's not even that. And this is a value judgment or a subjective judgment. He actually knew how to manipulate the economy. That's the thing, you know, this Bidenomics bullshit. Biden doesn't know what he's doing. But to his defense, and I hate to say this, most presidents don't know what they're doing. They don't. When it comes to the economy, most presidents don't know what they're doing. Since Reagan, and I would hate, you know, this is the part where people are going to give me shit for saying this, but it's really true. I think when it comes to economics, I can make an argument that Reagan was maybe overrated. Not his staff, not his administration, but him personally. I don't know if he grasped the finer points of this. I don't know. And I'm not saying he was senile or stupid. Because I have to admit, I had questions about his intelligence for many years until I read his book of letters. And then it's plainly obvious the guy was extremely intelligent. And I know, supposedly, Nancy Reagan said that's the reason they put the book out. Because it was a demonstration of his intelligence. And it is. If you ever get a chance, I'd suggest you read it. It's basically, it's reprints of a bunch of correspondence he had. The guy never lost track with a single person he ever knew in his entire life, even going back to his childhood. And he constantly wrote letters. People asked him, his friends asked him for personal advice, business advice. His advice was always prescient and spot on. No, the guy was very, very smart. No doubt about it. But that doesn't mean you understand economics. So since him, the only two presidents I've seen that really have a grasp who could actually run a country economically were Trump and Clinton. That's it. You know, Clinton did too. Clinton was the rare Democrat in my mind who actually understood this shit. I mean, he is really an outlier. And you stop and think about this. If you go back to the 1990s, the reaction of conservatives to Clinton was roughly kind of the same as the reaction of liberals to Trump. It was kind of the thing. No, you know, Clinton did not have an abrasive personality. Remember, it was the opposite. I've been told by people who've been in a room with him that he's unbelievably charismatic, way more than comes off even on TV. And it's funny, Jay Leno even said that too. He was talking about the Clintons, about Hillary and Bill, and he said, well, it's really interesting. He said, Bill comes off fantastic on television, but in private, he can be kind of aloof. And he kind of comes off non-caring. And he said there was it was the opposite for Hillary. Hillary does not come off well on television, but in private, she seems really warm and engaging. That's interesting. And then that doesn't surprise me. Even like watching her, I did not vote for her. I've said this before. I did vote for Trump, even though I had no idea what was going to happen because I knew she was going to be a failure as a president. I still think that she would have. As a matter of fact, I think it's more obvious now in retrospect. But yeah, I've seen her on TV. We all have, and she comes off really shrill and just not likable. And to me, it's because she's trying too hard for somebody who's done this for a living, off and on for 40 years. I kind of understand how that shit works. And yeah, it's like she's trying too hard. But Bill's a master. I mean, he, seriously, talking about a talent. And actually, I think. My personal feeling is that when Bill's head hits a pillow at night and he's staring at the ceiling before he goes to sleep, if he thinks about Barack Obama, I think he hates Barack's guts. That's what I think, because Barack kind of took away his thunder and not rightly so. I mean, yeah, Barack Obama also oozes charisma and maybe even more than Bill, but he has no actual talent. He didn't really, you know, like a Republican friend of mine very famously said, he didn't do anything, you know, and that's kind of my feeling too. But then you stop and think about this. The vast majority of presidents are basically placeholders. They basically accomplished nothing of any renown. You know, I mean, you tick through the stuff since Kennedy, which I suppose is kind of the start of the modern era. You know, how many do you get? You get, here's the terrible thing. I think you have to include Nixon on the list of people who accomplished something. You know, it's like he's kind of been vilified by history now. But and I've said this many times. The problem with Nixon, when Watergate happened in 1972, I'm talking about the actual Watergate break-in at the Watergate building. If he had come into the press room the next day and said, "Look, here's the deal. These guys got caught. I didn't know about it," which apparently was absolutely true. That's been pretty much verified, that he did not know that was going to happen, what they were doing. I didn't know what they were doing. We're going to prosecute them under the full extent of the law. Case closed. We would have never heard about this ever again. But he tried to cover it up. And American politics, or frankly, actually anything in life, it's the cover-up that'll get you, not the actual crime. Americans on every stripe are really, really forgiving when it comes to doing shit, you know. But you try to pull one over on them, holy shit, no, not going to happen. So the description of today's show is about what's called is everything corrupt? So this is the reason. So I got off a huge tangent there. The president of Harvard has been busted for plagiarism numerous times, and a lot, apparently whole paragraphs, swaths of her doctoral dissertation were plagiarized. And so under normal circumstances, as a student, you would be expelled from school for that. In college campuses, and also in journalism, plagiarism is basically the highest offense. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this, journalists virtually never get fired for fucking up. Virtually never. The only exception is plagiarism. If they copy shit from somebody else, they will be shown the door, and they regularly are. That it's the culture of that business. But anything, getting facts wrong? Oh no, that we know. Well, you know, reminds me of a lawyer I knew. Hold on, excuse me. I knew a lawyer years ago. He was telling me about the fact that he worked for one of the giant music companies that was then the Big Four, now the Big Three. I'm not going to tell you which one. And I got to admit, this is so long ago, I don't know if I can even remember. I think I remember. But anyway, he said, so he's working for one of the giant music companies. He made an error in processing some papers. This was not even a negotiation. He made an error, a clerical error that cost the company $150 million. And this is like 40 years ago, That even now, that's a lot of money. It was a shitload of money back then. And he said he thought, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job so fucking bad. And so he said the CEO of the company called him at home on a Saturday and they talked about it. And he said he was just straight, he was going to be straight up honest and told them what happened and that sort of thing. And the CEO said, he said there's a long pause. And the CEO said, okay, that's fine. I'll see you on Monday. Nothing happened. And he was shocked. He was shocked. He did not only lose his job, there was no ramifications at all. Nothing happened. It's like you just cost the company $100 million. I mean, that would, if that's 40, I have to figure out what year that was. It was around 1990, I think. Yeah, that would be about right, 1990 or 1991. So it was over 30 years ago. So you factor in inflation, that would probably be about $400, $500 million now, you know? Oh, man. So, yeah, Ms. Gay, got caught for plagiarism. And you just know this. I mean, if you saw this, she's the first black president of Harvard, and you know she's a diversity hire. You can just tell. This woman is not that bright, you know? It's like, I mean, shit. I mean, this is what America, and this is what America's come to. People are not getting hired because they check boxes rather than the competency, which may be fine if you're running a university. I do not think it's fine at all. But what happens when we get airline pilots and surgeons that end up being hired for that? What happens then? You know, now I don't know if you guys have heard this. I'm taking another tangent here. The federal government, the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, that runs the air traffic control system in the United States, they're about 20% short of air traffic controllers. And so because of that, supposedly they say there's been way more near misses at airports in the last 12 months than there have been at any time previously. I think they've gone up by like 600% or something like that. I mean, so far, no major disasters or catastrophes. That's primarily because now the air traffic control system is run largely by computers, but not completely. That's the thing. It's not completely computerized. There's some stuff humans either still have to do or they trust the human judgment more than the machine judgment. So there's still stuff humans have to do. If you I don't know if you want to do this. If you go back and read the book Airport, so I don't know if you remember. You don't remember because it was 1970. What am I talking about? Jesus Christ. It was, what, 53 years ago? Yeah, it was 50. There's a movie called Airport, and it was basically the first disaster film ever. And it was actually, coincidentally, it was filmed at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, which stood in for a fictitious airport in Chicago. You know, there's two major airports in Chicago, Midway and O'Hare, and they decided they didn't want to name which one, so they made it. It was Lincoln Airport in the movie. So a guy named Arthur Haley wrote this book, novel. But the thing is, if you read the novel, and also in the movie, if you ever get a chance to see the movie, stars Dean Martin, and it was an all-star cast, truly. It was like the first movie like this where they got a shitload of stars, you know, to come in, and then there's a big disaster, and so they have to land this plane without any. I can't remember what the hell it is. All right, so whatever. All right, but the thing is, the reason I bring this up is because in that movie, that was before computerization of anything. You know, it's like I was alive then. I remember. It was 1970. There were no computers. I remember in my high school in 1971, we got a terminal system hooked up to a computer in Chicago. I remember this. And the terminal, I'm not kidding, was about the size of a Volkswagen. No Volkswagen Bug. It was enormous, and it was a teletype machine. So basically, you type basic code into it, and by modem, it would send the stuff to Chicago and then spit out an answer back. That was the start of computing. And that's where I started to learn computing. And it's like that's nuts. I mean, your cell phone in your pocket has probably 10,000 times the computing power, not of that terminal, but of the computer in Chicago was hooked up to. So, I was telling, yeah, there was no computerization. And so in that book, they spent an enormous amount of time talking about the stress on the air traffic controllers. It was all done visually. You spent hours staring at a round radar type screen, watching these airplanes, and literally it was your job to make sure they didn't run into each other. Now, the computers handle like 90% of it, but not all of it. So, and so I brought that up. Why did I bring that up? Okay. Why did I bring that up? Oh, I'm talking about mission critical functions. That's why. So, so you don't, you know, what happens when you start hiring air traffic controllers based on quota systems, you know? Now, I have a personal story of this because I have a personal story about fucking everything. But one of my cousins flies the big giant jumbo jets across the ocean to Japan for a major airline. Matter of fact, he's had a storied career. He was the youngest pilot ever hired by that airline. And he's now a senior captain, makes big bucks, flies the biggest jets they have, you know, the Airbuses and the 747s or whatever, 777s, whatever they're called now. I don't even know. I know the Airbuses are huge. And he flies them from Los Angeles, his routes, Los Angeles to Japan and Asia. That's where he does. He flies this. So he told me years ago, this is 20 years ago now, but he said that pilots have to retrain, they have to recertify every 6 months. It's a really grueling thing. He said that at one of his certifications, somebody found out, going through his records, that he is exactly 2% Native American, and that's true, on his mother's side, not my family side, on his mother's side, he was exactly 2% Native American. He knew this, but he said that was the minimum for the quota for having to, that he, if he wanted, he could take a dumbed-down test. And he was appalled. I mean, aren't you? It's like, oh, because my cousin is slightly Native American, that he does not have to measure up to the same standards as other pilots. And this is 20 years ago. This is not recent. You know, so no, he declined. He took the regular test anyway. But just the fact that that was available or you could do it, I mean, that's nuts. You know, you got 500, 600 people on this airplane and what the fuck? I mean, shit. You know, or you're a doctor, you know, you're going to get surgeons that, you know, especially surgeons now, because the medical profession is now becoming rife with DEI. It's rife with it. You know, as a matter of fact, the interesting thing about the unemployment statistics that came out for November were quite strong, but hidden in that was the fact that there was a whole bunch of created jobs. It was higher than they expected. I think by that 200,000, I think it was. The vast majority of the people who are finding getting these new jobs, those two new jobs are in medical care and government, almost all of them. Yeah, like we need more people in government. I've heard that since Joe Biden took office, 70% of all the new jobs created in America have been in government. The federal government, not even state and local, the federal government, it's growing by leaps and bounds. Yep, and all those people need something to do or nothing to do or something, and then we wonder why nothing runs correctly. I mean, shit, look at this. We're talking about the airplanes here, Department of Transportation, the planes that we've never had a higher off-schedule rate than in history. Planes are not running on time. You know, remember the old thing about the years ago? Well, you don't remember because I'm old as the hills, about the fact that, you know, that the job of the government was to, well, the primary job of the government was to keep the railroads running on time. Well, you can replace airplanes with that. It's the same thing. So now let me get back to my point. So Miss Gay, let me get back. It's like, oh, wee! So she's the president of Harvard, and she was a diversity hire, and she has a history of writing papers and articles that are rife with plagiarism. She's stolen from everybody. So instead of firing her Carol Swain, the black university professor, is quite well known, and also it just so happens that Miss Gay plagiarized a bunch of shit from her. So maybe she has an axe to grind. I don't know. She would you want to? You'd think maybe that'd be justified, but anyway, she has said that if Christine Gay was a white man, he would have been fired for this. But not only was she not fired, they actually changed the definition of plagiarism to basically accommodate most of her work. Because they said the problem was, well, it's not so much that you copied, it's that you didn't cite your sources. Oh, Jesus Christ. And if you saw, I don't know if you've seen, you know, Fox News has been running A-B comparisons of her papers and other people's pages. I mean, she literally copied whole paragraphs. It's like, I mean, this is not a, and this is not a citation thing. You know, it's intellectual theft. It is. So they changed the definition at Harvard of plagiarism to accommodate her. That's great. And then on top of that, and this didn't really make the news, but on Instagram, hold on, I want to find this. I want to make sure I get this right. On Instagram, there was a student event that was happening, and one of the speakers was somebody that's highly criticized the president, and the event was canceled. Nobody really knows why either, you know. So, but here's what the takeaway from all this: Gay and her cohorts are in Congress, sitting and talking to congressmen, and they're talking about the fact that freedom of speech. And here's the deal: if you're a free speech absolutist, and I've been watching Fox News the past couple of days, and Kat Timpf has been going on about this, and I agree with her on this. You know, if you're going to talk about absolute free speech, then yeah, somebody has the right to call for the genocide of Jews. It's an abhorrent thing, but they have the right to say it. But the problem is, they are selective about what you can and can't say. It's completely hypocritical and completely dishonest. If you went on the Harvard campus and talked about the genocide of all black people, I can assure you, you would be kicked out. You would be expelled from school and kicked physically out of campus in 5 minutes. No one would stand for that for a second. But Jews, oh, Jews are okay, you know, because they're the oppressors. Well, first of all, are they really? I mean, they've only had like, you know, 20,000 years of being oppressed. You know, so that's hilarious in of itself. But that's the way they look at this. It's oppressed versus oppressors. And so we decide who gets to say what based on what class you're in. And that's complete and utter bullshit. You could not come up with anything that's more hypocritical than this. And this is where academia is going, and then follows it the way our society is going. That basically what you can say is determined on your role. And that's absurd. That's not free speech. That isn't. No, I mean, this woman's just this. I can't say she's dishonest to the core, but that whole culture is. And you know, people are saying, "Well, how do you dismantle this?" I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and try to be some big freaking know-it-all and tell you that I know how to do that. I don't. I don't know how you dismantle it. I suppose one way is just you could ignore it. I suppose you could do that. When I mean ignore it, I mean ignore the universities. I've already heard about people who have all decided that they're not going to hire people from Ivy League anymore for all this bullshit. And yeah, that might, enough people do that, that starts to sting. Or was the guy's name Bill McKay, who pulled his $100 million donation from Harvard? He pulled it, you know, that supposedly they've lost $1 billion in donations because of this fiasco. And that's serious money. Now, the endowment I'm pulling this figure out of my butt, so I don't know if this is right. The endowment at Harvard, I think it's $30 billion or something like that. They already have a lot of money, but still, that's a shitload of cash, and that starts to hurt. So maybe that's the way you do it. I don't know. But it's really interesting. I've talked about this before, that William Ayers was a member of the Weather Underground in the 1970s, and he went to prison for killing a police officer. And he came out, and the amazing thing is, and the colleges in America still do this, you know, all right, so he's an ex-felon, And he got hired as a teacher at a university. I don't even know if he had any credentials, but he said, you know, and he's talking about the revolution, quote unquote, the revolution. They're hippies. He said, no, we will accomplish this through your children. That's what he said. And that's exactly what seems to be happening. So, yeah, I did that. A description. Hold on. I just wonder if all of America is kind of going to hell. Now, everybody's been wondering this, you know? And I'm an old, you know, my wife says, you're just an old curmudgeon, you know? Yeah, okay, fine, you know? But, I mean, it does seem to kind of be this way. There seems to be no honesty left in anything. I mean, when was the last time you saw somebody stand up for something that was good and true? You know? And the thing is, right now, with cancel culture, if you do that, you might end up losing your job. I mean, and it's happened all the time. You know, the thing with the vaccinations, which I have not liked to talk about, the COVID thing, it was terrible what happened to people because they refused to get vaccinated. And the thing is, it was always a falsehood, always, that by getting vaccinated, you were protecting other people. That was always complete, utter bullshit. And any scientist could tell you that. But man, did they manage to weasel that in the narrative, you know? So people, you know, there's people in the, they're trying to get people who they expelled out of the military. They're trying to talk them into coming back. And you can imagine what those people are saying. You know, no. You know, I mean, it's just, what's happened here is unbelievable. And it's all, I do want to remind you this has all happened in the last 3 years, or four, let's say four, since, you know, Trump left office in January 21, and this all started in 2020, and our lives have fundamentally changed in the last 4 years, actually dramatically. I mean, we have inflation up the wazoo. Oh, and that's another thing, too. Let me bring this up, too. That's another thing I put on the outline today. So John Nolte writes for Breitbart, and he's a curmudgeon asshole. That's one of the reasons I love him. But here's the headline of the piece he wrote. And he's basically an opinion columnist. He doesn't actually write about news, per se. Or he does write about the news, but not he doesn't cover it. Headline of his column: experts mystified by voter dissatisfaction with Joe Biden's awesome economy. And he's talking about the fact, and this is true, that the economists for the administration, left-wing economists, do not understand why the public is so pissed off. They said, well, you know, okay, so the inflation was pretty bad a year or two ago, but now it's much, much better. And we, you know, why aren't people reacting? And Nolte says, and of course he's absolutely right, but I'm going to read you. He says, this is why people are so pissed off. It's just a list. A bag of Fritos costs $5. A gallon of gasoline is currently $3.14. A 12-pack of Dr. Pepper at a big box discount store is $7.18. The average, and this is scary, the average monthly mortgage now costs, and he wrote, this is not a typo, as he wrote, $3,322. That's true. Mortgages, the price of a mortgage in the United States has gone up 50% in the last 3 years. 50%. The average mortgage in America is now $3,300. The average national interest rate for a mortgage is 7.42%. A used pickup truck, used with 71,000 miles on it, now costs about $28,000. And he's right about that, too. In other words, that's why people are pissed off. Prices are still through the roof. Now, I do the shopping for my family, and I'm just astonished. And granted, there is a delay between inflation, you know, hitting the marketplace and showing up in the grocery stores. But it's mind-boggling. There's pizzas. I love pizza. I do. I just love, and I have no problem with frozen pizza. So I buy all sorts of different brands and kinds. It kind of depends on what the sales are, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's not many pizzas I don't like. I know which ones they are. There's a few, but there aren't many. And so, like, Bellatoria Pizza, which I consider probably the premier frozen pizza in America, has almost doubled in price in the last 12 months. It's gone from about $6.50 to $12. And not only that, I mean, I will go to the grocery store and all of a sudden something, the price on something has gone up $3. It's like, I mentioned the story previously, but I just went there again. There's a very famous vitamin store, which I will not mention. I've been buying this energy formula from them for like 20 years. It works great. It's both a bunch of herbs and some caffeine. Fantastic. It peps me up without making me crash. I love it. I take these almost every day. So for years, like 20 years, it was $15 a bottle. Now, $25. Just went up. You know, I bought some yesterday. With tax here in Minnesota, $27.50. It was $15 about a year and a half ago. Jesus. And these people, these still, well, why are you unhappy? You see, and this is the thing. Americans actually want the prices to come down. They went up so quickly, so high, in such a short amount of time, that we're actually expecting them to come down again. Of course, they're not going to, you know. But we've had no adjustment in our income. That's the other thing. So we're now paying through the roof for all the, to basically to live, and there's no real adjustment in our income. Now, they are for a few people, you know. I mean, the automaker, the auto workers did pretty well, you know, with their strike. And, you know, I'm going to sound like I'm an anti-conservative person here, but I have to say, at least historically, when you're talking about businesses as big as the auto workers, that actually paying them more is not a bad thing. Because those people turn around and they pump money in the economy, and companies do not go broke. Although supposedly with this latest round of negotiations, I mean there's rumblings that at least one of the three major automakers might go bankrupt because they really can't afford to do what they agree to do. So I mean that's a terrible thing too. I mean we'll see. But at any rate, Nolte wrote this article. Yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, they're trying to, you know, all these, the elites are trying to tell us, oh, why are you so unhappy? It reminds me of when the Tea Party started during Obama's first term. So this is about, what is this, maybe around 2009, 2010. The Tea Party starts and they start having these rallies and stuff. I still remember CNN thought they were staged by the Republican National Committee because they said they couldn't understand why people were unhappy. They said, what are you protesting? You know? Well, yeah, it's too bad that you can't fucking figure it out. You know, of course, you know, you're living in New York City, you're going to pay $700,000 a year, so it doesn't affect you, you know? So I'm going to go on here to some of the science news, which is always how I like to close these shows, you know. So, I'm not going to think about that out loud. Okay, so here is, I don't know if you know anything about dark matter. So they figured that dark matter makes up 85% of the universe, except we don't know what it is. We can't even find it. We can't see it. The only reason they know it exists is because of the gravitational pull that exists spontaneously out of nowhere for places that that shouldn't have any. So there has to be something there, and there's nothing there. So we can't see it. We don't know what it is. There are a bunch of this is astrophysicists at both Amsterdam and Princeton. They think they've figured out what dark matter is, and it's something called axions, which was has something to do with neutrinos, and they have a very, very low mass within a certain range, and they think that may be dark matter. So they're going to do off. This is a huge thing if they figure this out, because it will fundamentally change the way our understanding of how the universe works. Because it's been one of those things that basically in a placeholder. It's like, you know, well, something's going on here, and we know what's going on, but we don't know what's causing it. So anyway, that's an interesting thing. There's a guy who this guy's named Eric Tabor. He's a defense aerospace contractor for 13 years, and he has security clearance with the military. But he claims that his uncle, who's also a defense contractor with the military, he claims his uncle told him on his deathbed about a UFO they recovered. He said they found it intact, completely intact, out in the desert, just sitting there. And he said they brought it in, and he said it was egg-shaped, silver in color, no markings, no wings, nothing. They could not open it. They could not figure out. He said they x-rayed it. It came out as a solid mass. They couldn't x-ray through it. They could not figure out how it flew at all. They could not figure it out. That's what his uncle told him on his deathbed. And this was that his uncle worked at Area 51. So, I mean, I've always kind of wondered whether the whole thing about Area 51 has been hyped up because the government wanted it hyped up to actually keep the real secrets other places. I've always wondered that. Like, if you're really into the UFO thing, another big spot is supposed to be the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. That's supposedly also where they have a lot of stuff stashed. So, because of that, I've always wondered about the Area 51 thing. The only reason I haven't wondered about it is because of what Robert Lazar said. He said he worked out there on a crashed spacecraft, extraterrestrial spacecraft. And more of nothing he's ever said has been disproven, and more stuff that he's talked about has been proven. So it's really interesting. Although Stan Friedman, and I'm reading a book by Stan's now that I've had for quite a few years, that's always, and I've read it in the past, but I'm kind of rereading it, called Science Was Wrong. Now, Stan Friedman died, I think, 4 years ago. He was in his 80s. He was a nuclear physicist by training, but he was probably, arguably, in his lifetime, when he was alive, he was the most credible UFO researcher there was, mostly because he was so incredibly grounded in science. And he was a working nuclear physicist. Matter of fact, he even said he had security clearances all over the place. I always assume there's shit that he knew that he could not actually talk about. You know, I mean, it's really weird how this works. You can work on trying to investigate UFOs. You can say you believe that the extraterrestrials are real, but you can't actually talk about stuff you actually worked on in the government. That's where, and Luis Alejandro, that's where these guys, they have to be very, very careful what they say. Because, yeah, you can express your opinion. You can talk about what other people have done. But if you know something that's proprietary that the government's doing, you can't talk about that. So anyway, Friedman was a very, very sharp guy. And he did not believe Lazar. Friedman was never wrong about much. But the thing is, I think the reason is because Lazar claimed to be a trained physicist, and yet when supposedly the press went to look, he said, I think it was Cal Poly at MIT he said he went to, that they could not find any evidence of his attending either one of those schools. But George Knapp, the investigator from Las Vegas, he said that he found, it wasn't even close, like dozens of people at both those universities who said they went to school with Bob Lazar. So records have obviously been purged. But the other thing is, Friedman was kind of a classical physicist, and Lazar isn't, which is the reason I think they picked him to do this, work on these spacecraft, because he's always kind of been an out-of-the-box thinker. I don't know if you know anything about this, so Lazar was in the papers before any of this shit ever raised its ugly head. Locally out in Nevada, he was in the papers because he was building literally rocket-powered automobiles You know, do you remember the old Batman thing? You know, Adam West, and they had the Batmobile, the Chuck Barris Batmobile that looked so cool. That there was literally a rocket on the back of it. I don't know if you guys remember that. Well, he took a Corvette. Lazara took a Corvette, and he actually did that. He put a rocket in the Corvette, a rocket engine in the Corvette. And he made the news for that. Of course, why wouldn't you, you know? And that's where a lot of this stuff, that's all pre his coming out with the UFO stuff. And so there were a lot of articles written about him because of that. And those articles, they all said that he worked at Livermore Laboratories, I think it was, or whatever it was. That, you know, he was a legitimate physicist. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But, you know, that's maybe my problem is that I'm interested in it. And finally, and this is really weird, because the thing about this is, this video is actually from 2015. But it's like, it's finally been discovered. There's this video on YouTube that a lot of people are saying is the single best video of a Bigfoot, of a Sasquatch ever done. But the video's been posted up there for 8 years. And it's like, all of a sudden, people have discovered it. So I don't know if that's, you know, and I've seen the video. I got to admit, you could get a guy in a suit to do that shit. I don't know. It's like, you know, I did not think it was that compelling, or maybe I'm just become a skeptic or cynic. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a skeptic, but I'm definitely a cynic. I am. The vast majority of this shit is fake. People are just pulling fake shit, you know. It's like the vast majority of the UFO reports are either misinterpreted. There, you got honest people who think who misinterpreted what they saw, or just people lying, one or the other. Almost all of them. But the thing is, it doesn't explain all of them. That's the thing. So, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I should post a link on this on the blog. I've been bad about doing that lately. I don't think this video, whatever. You know, it's 8 years old, man. It's like, really, seriously? But anyway, so somebody kind of discovered this, and it went viral, like, this week, you know, after 8 years of being online. So, at any rate, if you want to see a picture of Bigfoot, there you go. I'm trying to get more Bigfoot people on here. I'm trying to get more guests, so that's the reason we're taking tomorrow off, because I really, really need to fix our email system. I really do. So, because otherwise Mr. Morano will not join us on Tuesday, because I'm sure I will piss him off, and I don't want to do that. He's been very kind. I mean, you know, I don't have to tell you, like I've always said about all the men in my family, we've all married above our station. Me included. But the thing is, you know, I have, considering the viewership of this program at the present time, we get way more bigger guests than we should. I mean, I know this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh yeah, you know, it's like I'm some great, no. We got people come on here who really shouldn't, you know. I'm very grateful anyway. Our interview with Patrick Moore is still the most single watch program we've done. And like I said, this is show 62. So we haven't been doing that this long. I look at Russell Brand and Kim Iverson on Rumble, and some of the other people are doing this on Rumble. And I think, you know, what's his name? God, the guy from Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro. I think he's done like 2,800 shows or something like that. And yeah, 62. Wee! Yeah, come on my show. We've done it 62 times. Oh, God. All right, so here's the deal. So yeah, so we're off for the rest of the week. I will see you next Monday. That's the 18th, right? Yes. The 18th, and we have a full week of shows next week, and because of the guests, we actually have guests, so we won't be canceling. And then the following week, starting the Monday the 25th, which is Christmas Day, we're taking that week off. And then the following Monday, which is the 1st of January 2024, we are going to do a show, and we are going to do shows all that week too. So that's my schedule. I'm sticking to it. I want to thank you folks for watching and listening. You should watch, whatever, because, you know, you can always listen. We still post these on we still post these as podcasts, audio podcasts. Matter of fact, they're on Spreaker Live. If you get the Spreaker app and go to the live section, while we're doing this, it's live. We are on there. But I don't know. I've listened to the Spreaker feeds like in my car just to check them on the car radio, and they sound good. Yeah, they're all right. Could use a little more compression, but I'm not going to, considering the amount of people that actually access it, I'm not going to really bother that right now. Anyway, folks, I want to thank you. Thanks again. I hope you have a nice weekend. It's going to be relatively warm here in Minneapolis, relatively. That would be 40s. So this background I got going on back here, you know, that's the Stone Arch Bridge. I after the holidays, I will put the regular skyline background on Minneapolis back up. But, yeah, it snows here. That's what it does. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. You have a nice week. We'll see you on Monday. Take care.